last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 18th para was recited, and the para before this in the Surah Hajj, we mentioned in the ulama said that the object of this surah was that how can a person build up his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will save a person on the day of Qiyamah. So continuing also in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the people who have built up relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be successful. And those who broke off the relationship with Allah ta'ala, especially the kuffar, la yuflihu al-kafirun, the surah ends up also, the disbelievers will never be successful. So those who have got iman, and the stronger our iman and relationship is with Allah ta'ala, the more success a person will have in dunya also and in akhirat also. What are the signs of those people who have built up a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala mentions here 7 signs of the people who have built up a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first quality is of iman. And not just iman, but a person must continue working on his iman and building up his iman. The person says, I'm rich, I got money. He's got 100 rand or 500 rand, he's got money also. But another person got 1 million rand. Another person got 5 million rand. It's a world of difference amongst them. So it is just to say, I've got iman, but what is the level of our iman? So the person who's regarded as a true believer, Allah Ta'ala says the first quality, he's got iman, he'll be successful. Then number two, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who have got concentration and devotion, they are engaged in the salah, the physical outward salah they have got, and inside khashi'un, the khushu and concentration in salat, سَاكِنُونَ خَائِفُونَ. The limbs are tranquil in salat, and they've got the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. So the outward limbs also are correct, and their hearts also, they've got the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not only the outward salat, but they've got the reality of salat also. Third quality Allah mentions, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّهُ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those people who completely turn away, not tarikun. Tarikun means they leave it out. I'raz means to turn your back towards it, to turn completely away from love. Love means futility. Guna and sin is very far. Kufr and shirk is very far. And then sin is far away also. Even love, futile things, things which have no benefit to a person's iman, that's also the people of iman they turn away from. Number four, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِزَّكَاتِ فَاعِلُونَ. They're fulfilling their zakat, they are paying their zakat, they are purifying their money. Zakat needs to purify, so they are purifying their money by giving the zakat and charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or some ulama have taken a more general meaning, all types of zakat they are doing. The zakat, the tazkiyah, zakat needs to purify, they are purifying their heart also, and they are purifying their wealth also, and they are purifying their bodies. In one hadith it comes, everything has got a zakat, and the zakat of the body is to fast. So in the month of Ramadan they are fasting also, that's also a type of zakat. So they are fulfilling all the different types of purification. So this is the fourth quality of the people of iman. Number five, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. They are looking after their private path. They chastity. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ. They can fulfill their desires with their wives or their slave girls. فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. There is no malamati. They are not blameworthy upon this year. But this ayat shows, ulama say, that this is not the object of life. The person all the time is fikr and concern must just be to fulfill his desires. That's the quality of an animal. But Allah has given the desires, the person fulfills it. But there won't be any malama, there won't be any blame on a person who fulfills his desires. But it's not the object of your life. And if you're seeking anything besides this, from your ulama says that homosexuality is included in there, lesbianism is included in there, masturbation is included in there, having relations with one's wife also through the anal side, all of this is included during a hayd also. Person has relations with his wife, it's all included in this. A person who is seeking something besides what Allah has made halal for a person, فَوَلَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. They have exceeded the bounds, gone against what Allah Ta'ala has wanted to. And the next quality Allah mentions, لِأَمَانَاتِ مُعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Whatever facts and promises they have made, their business dealings, amanat and trust which they have got, they fulfill it to their rightful people who they're supposed to be giving it to. So this is the quality, that means the person's, his speech also is true, his amanat and trust, he's got somebody's wealth, he makes sure he fulfills it. He's taken a pact with somebody, he makes sure he does it. He writes the contract out. He ofu bil uqud. He makes sure all of this are fulfilled. So he fulfills the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He fulfills the rights of his body. And he fulfills the rights of other people also. Then, and the last quality Allah mentions, who are looking after their salat, making khifazat, protecting their salat, the times of salat, the wudu. They're looking all after all of these things. And then Allah ta'ala says, the ulama say that Allah ta'ala mentions salat in the beginning, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions salat at the ending, showing that how much more effort a person makes on his salat, then the whole of deen will come into a person's life. So actually a person has to make a lot of effort on his salat. And Allah says, ulaika humul warithun. These are the people who will inherit not only Jannat, but they will get the highest levels of Jannat, Jannatul Firdaus, and they will live forever and forever. So you build up your ta'aluk in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah will grant to a person. And why do we have to build up a relationship with Allah ta'ala? Because Allah is the one who created us. And Allah has given us great bounties. And Allah Ta'ala says how He created us in the different stages. Allah Ta'ala created us In there you can see the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can realize Allah's favors. Al-insanu abdul ihsan. We are the slave of those who do good to us. So what in what favors Allah has done to us, so automatically we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after creating you, Allah ta'ala did not give you. But whatever necessities and needs you had in this world, Allah continues sending upon you the food and all other bounties, different kinds of fruits Allah ta'ala has kept, the animals Allah ta'ala has kept for you in the world, means of transportation Allah ta'ala has kept for you, all of this Allah has kept for you. And also another reason why you have to build up your relationship with Allah ta'ala is ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لَمَيْتُونَ. A certain time will come when you will pass away, you will leave this world. Every one of you has to leave this world. You have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You haven't built up your relationship with Him. How are you going to stand and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incidents of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. Those Anbiya alayhim salam, they built up their relationship with Allah ta'ala. Sometimes they went through some difficulties in life, but finally they were successful even in this worldly life. On the other hand, their nations who were not prepared to accept the teachings of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, they mocked them, they troubled them, and they remained on the kufr and shirk. Eventually they were destroyed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, first is the incident of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, then Hud alayhi salatu wa salam, then Salih alayhi salatu wa salam, then Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, then Hazrat Maryam and Isa alayhi salatu wa salam came. The ta'aluk with Allah ta'ala was correct. Allah ta'ala looked after them, protected them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha ar-rusul kulu min at-tayyibat wa amalu saliha, inni bima ta'amaluna alim. Some ulama say that in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, three things a person has to do in life. One is, he has to have the eat. As I was mentioning, the hawm, the food you must eat. Not just halal food, but tayyib. And Ya Allah Ta'ala addressed the Rasul. Ya ayyuha ar-rusulu. The higher than the Anbiya alayhi salam. Even you people must eat that of the tayyib food. The pure, wholesome, healthy food. Which there is no doubt at all. And the second thing what the people have to do is wa'amalu saliha. Doing good actions. And automatically when a person eats good food, then automatically good actions will come up from a person. And the third thing they say is, وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. To get taqwa, to build up your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So three things. Do good actions, build up your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the food a person is eating, a person must be very particular and careful about it. These three things will make a person successful. And other qualities also of the people of success, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who've got true iman in the ayat and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do not make any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no matter what they do also, they've got the fear in their heart that one day we'll have to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to answer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said when this ayat was revealed that the hearts of the people are fearing. So as Aisha radiallahu anha asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this ayat referring to those people who make zina, who fornicate, who steal? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, O daughter of Siddiq, it's not that. But these are the people who perform salat, who are fasting in the month of Ramadan, who are giving their zakat. But still too, they've got the fear in their heart that they have to stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us these qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the after mentions many of his bounties, and is reminding us over and over of his bounties, so that a person takes less than qaleelam ma tashkurun. Very few of you unfortunately make shukr. Afala ta'aqilun. Aren't you using your aqal, your mind and your brain to understand? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about death also, the life of the year after when we will leave this world. A person will want to come back in this world, it will be too late for a person, it will be said never ever now. You are successful if you are obedient servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your scales are heavy, you are successful. And the people whose scales are light, they are in complete loss. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of Qiyamah, it will be said to them, how long did you live in this world? He said, we live for a day or a portion of a day. That's how it will be, how it will seem on the day of Qiyamah, is 50,000 years. This world will seem like one day. According to one narration in Ibn Kathir, they mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call the people of Jannah and ask them, that how long did you live in this world? They will say, well, Allah, it seems like you live only for one day or a portion of the day. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, that you people had fulfilled my duties and my whatever work you had to do in this world, and you were completely successful. And now my rahmat and my mercy and my forgiveness and jannat I have prepared for you people. And these people will be so excited and happy. On the other hand, you will get the people of Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them also, you people, and Allah ta'ala will tell the people of Iman also, the people of Jannat, that you people did business and you did a very profitable business. On the other hand, the kuffar and disbelievers, Allah ta'ala will ask them, how long did you live in the world? They say, you also live for a day or a portion of a day. Very short while it seems compared to the day of Qiyamah. Then Allah ta'ala will say that you people did a very bad business in the world. You had a complete loss in your business. Khatirun, complete loss you were. And then Allah ta'ala said, you have only earned my anger and you have earned my punishment. And these people will be flung in forever and forever in the fire of Jahannam. No life, yuhul kafirun. The kuffar will never ever be successful. فَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think we created you in vain? And you will not be returning back to us. Definitely, we all of us will be returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what must a person say? رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَرْحَمُ أَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّحِمِينَ. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, have mercy upon me. You are the best of those who have mercy upon people. The dua a person must keep on his tongue, asking Allah for forgiveness and Allah Ta'ala's mercy to come upon us, forgiveness for our past and rahmat of Allah Ta'ala for our future, so that a person is enveloped in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah An-Nur. In the ayat before, in the surah before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you want success, you have to look after your chastity, your private path. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned many laws regarding akhlaq and character. Ulama say up to 14 laws which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. How can a person look after his akhlaq and character? And if a person doesn't look after it, then he will completely destroy himself, he'll destroy his character and the people around him. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu is to encourage the women folk to learn the surah. There are many laws regarding the iffat and the chastity and purity of the woman. First thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is zina, fornication, adultery is such an evil quality. A person's iman actually comes out of a body when a person is engaged in this evil action of zina, and then eventually after a person is finished, that iman comes back to a person in a very weak form. So this is such a severe sin. And so many warnings Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given about zina, how much of harm it causes, not only to a person, it creates poverty in a person's life, it destroys lineage, it causes so much of confusion. So that is why the punishment also is extremely severe. If a person is unmarried, he must be given 100 lashes. And not only 100 lashes in public, so that people will all completely get frightened and they will abstain from it. And according to the hadith we learn, if a person is a married person and he has to do this evil action after Allah giving the bounty of a wife, and he still goes and fulfills his desire somewhere else, then this person must be stoned to death. He is not fit to live in the world, so he must be completely killed and destroyed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but obviously now it doesn't mean any person can go and just accuse somebody of zina. The accusation, the punishment is very severe, so the proof which is needed has to be extremely strong. There has to be four people coming, only men, and they have to testify that they have actually seen the action and exactly how they have seen the action. And if it's proven that even one of them is lying, or it's proven that they have said something wrong, and even if four of them all came and forward and they said it and one person reflects thereafter, so a person has to be very, very careful about this day when he is giving testimony. Then Allah Ta'ala said, you must bless these people 80 times. And وَلَا تَقْبَلُ لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا. Never ever accept their, in future, the shahadat of such people. Today many people, let's say, you just pass comments, hey, this person made zina with somebody else, this person committed fornication. It's a very dangerous statement to make. You have to be very, very careful without shari'i proof. And a person is just making accusations like this here. The punishment Allah says, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. They will remain as fasiqs and evil doers unless they make tawbah. But if they make tawbah also, the rest of their life, according to the Hanafi Mazhab, the shahadat will not be accepted in the court of law, because they had accused one person, even though outwardly it might have been correct also. But the law regarding accusing somebody of adultery and fornication is extremely severe, so a person has to be very careful regarding this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and if a husband sees his wife and a wife sees a husband, then there is a different law regarding that there. So this in great detail Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. Then the story of if is mentioned. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, he was accused, na'udhu billah, of committing, and unfortunately many of the Shias till today they have got this evil, they accused Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, whereas the Quran Sharif is in 10 ayat clearly explained she was completely free and innocent. Muna Ahmad Lahuri rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, why? One reason why Allah Ta'ala could have mentioned this incident here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show the ummah that till the day of Qiyamah you must be very careful. If one man and one woman can be together for a short while, just enjoy it was a mistake or so. It was Allah Ta'ala's system, Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach the ummah that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu was left back, and then Safwan radiallahu anhu, he helped and assisted her to come back to Medina Munawwara. But for a short while, men and women were in taqliya, and which men and women, the most purest of men, the most purest of women. Because of this year, there was so much of tuhmat and accusation placed upon them, just because of being together. So, in here Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that till Qiyamah, men and women must never be together. If such pure people could not be spared, then how can any other person be spared thereafter? Obviously, people will have doubts upon a person. So now we must be very careful. That is why Allah Ta'ala has given us this, the laws of separation. Men must be separate, women must be separate. In there is protection for a person's izzat, for his chastity, for his honor. And there is so much of goodness for a person. As Hazrat mentions, that the Western system is that you must light a fire and then you must try to control it. Men and women must be together and now you try to control it. Whereas Islam says they don't light the fire at all. You don't light the fire, there is no need now for a person to to try to control it. As it says, if butter is placed next to a fire, then automatically the butter is going to melt. If a man is next to a woman, automatically something is going to happen. If the butter doesn't melt, then it's not butter. It's something else. Maybe it's plastic or it's margarine or something like that. But it can't be butter. You know, automatically, your man and woman are next to one another. It's going to have all these effects. So Allah is our creator and sustainer who knows us best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the separation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when people hear about Muslim people and especially good pious people saying, when you heard this, why didn't you say, Subhanaka hadha buhtanun azim? Is it possible for us to speak such things? This is a buhtan, is a slander. A Muslim person will never do such a thing like this here. And this is the quality a person is supposed to have had. And those people who like that immorality must spread amongst the people of Iman. Then Allah, and in today's time, with the means of the cell phone, we're just sending messages, these people are doing this person is doing that. And especially when it comes to akhlaq and character, this evil they are doing. So a person should not spread these messages. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. For them is a very severe punishment in the dunya and the akhirat also. So then after this, people were lashed, were spoken against Aisha radiallahu anha. Amongst them one was Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu, the cousin of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. What an accusation. His daughter, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's daughter, was accused. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to help and assist him. But when he took a qasam and an oath and never helped this person again in life. But Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach us akhlaq and character, the highest level. That somebody accused you, and you accuse your daughter, which is somebody almost beloved to you, but still Allah Ta'ala said, the person of fadl and greatness in deen, and a person who's got wealth also, he must not take such qasams. He won't have those people who had made sacrifice in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, family members, and they had made hijrah, they had strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Forgive and overlook, to remove that even bad thoughts in your heart, and Allah تُحِبُّونَ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you love that Allah must forgive you? Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when this ayat was revealed, he said, I love Allah, must forgive me. And then he forgave Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu, and not only forgave him, what he was giving him, according to some narrations, he started giving him double. He gave him even more favors. This is the highest level of akhlaq and character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a portion of it. So thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions other laws regarding the chastity of a person. Do not enter a person's house until you don't take permission. This is far better for a person. The object of seeking permission, not looking into somebody's house, is also for the protection of a person's gaze. إِنَّمَا جُعِلْ إِسْتِئْذَانُ لِأَجْلِ الْبَصَرِ. Allah has given us a command for our eyes, so we don't fall into somebody else's house. We don't intrude in the privacy of some person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ tell the believers, they must lower their gazes, some of their gazes. And by means of this, they will protect their private parts. This is the most purest for them. And Allah is fully aware exactly what actions they are doing. Then on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala says, oh believing woman, you also must lower your gazes. You also protect your private parts. And one extra law for you people is that make sure your body is covered correctly. And here Allah Ta'ala mentions the sitr of a woman. A sitr of a woman is the whole body besides her face, her hands, and her feet. And the law of parda, which comes in the 22nd para, when a woman is living out, going out of the house, then she must cover her face also. So in here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says she must make sure her sitr is covered. But there are certain exceptions in front of her husband, for example, in front of her parents, in front of her brothers, where her arms can be left open, her hair can be left open. There are certain easiness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. And then thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a woman also when she is walking, she must be careful how she must not stamp her legs on the ground. People mustn't hear the sound of that anklet. This also can create shahwat in a person. Allah must say, when this can create shahwat in a person, desires in a person, to a greater extent a person must be careful regarding the voice of the woman. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this masala of desires is very, very subtle. Person has to be very careful. So, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. All of you, O believers, all of you must make tawbah and turn your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. Because every person falls and makes mistake in this matters. And then you will get success. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ. To remove all of this evil, make nikah common amongst you people. Nikah must become common amongst the people. When nikah is common, then zina becomes difficult. But when nikah becomes difficult, with all the different customs, and what funny things are happening in the world today, exorbitant mihr, and so many customs you must have, so much of money you must have, houses you must have, and all of this becomes common, then nikah becomes very difficult. Even in the Arab world we met some brothers, we asked them, you need 200,000-300,000 riyals before a person gets married. It sometimes takes 20 years for a person to get that amount of money before he can get married. I asked him, can you go in another country and get married? He said the government has put laws. They stopped actually when the people were getting married in other countries. The mihr was cheaper there. They made laws in the country. So the object actually is to create an environment of zina and adultery, whereas nikah is supposed to be easy and simple. Allah Ta'ala said so much, so if you are poor also, Allah will make you wealthy. to his father and grace. Allah's special help is on that person who gets married. He's poor, so he got nothing at all. And he gets help. And he gets married just to save his chastity. Allah Ta'ala special help and assistance to such a person. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, and prostitution, we should never ever do such a thing. People used to make take the prostitutes for them and to get money. So Allah Ta'ala prohibits the person from doing so. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions, when a person will do all of these things, he will get nur in his life. And Allah Ta'ala mentions, where will a person get nur? In the houses of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, where the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala is taking place. And in those places, in the khankas, in the masajid, you will get rijal. The men of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will be created. And Allah mentions their qualities. And then Allah mentions about the people of kufr and disbelief. They've got no nur in their hearts. Their amal and actions will be completely lifeless. It won't be of any benefit for a person in this world also and in the akhirat also. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions that those who will have this nur in their heart, then eventually Allah Ta'ala will give them khilafat on the earth. And in detail, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions what conditions and qualities they must have. And coming to the end of the surah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions that there are some easiness also in the matail of farda, where there is no fear of fitna and evil. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala removes the restrictions. For example, small children who are not baligh as yet, then they can enter the rooms of their parents without seeking that kind of permission, like how the other people need permission. But once they become at the age of bulugh, or according to our akabir and our elders, even from the age of 9, even if they're not baligh still, parda must be made at least between boys and girls. The laws of hijab must be, you try to encourage the people. So even if they're not baligh as yet, so inshallah, this, because at that age now they are murahiq, close to bulugh, so a person must try to establish these things. A very old lady, it's not necessary for her to cover her face. But if she covers her face, it is far, far better for her also. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions, it must not be the law of hijab is not so difficult. As Hazrat mentioned the other day, that the law of hijab was actually for freedom of people, not to make it difficult for them. So here also, the ulama say, it doesn't mean our person must break off all family ties because of the laws of hijab. So Allah said, there's no problem, you can go to visit one another's houses, fulfill the laws of hijab in part of the separation between men and women, but there is permission for a person to go to visit his brother's house and his family's house and his uncle's house and the auntie's house. But those people who raise law, example, your uncle, your uncle, there is no hijab, I mean, but his wife, there is hijab, your uncle's wife, or for a lady, her auntie, her khala's husband, there is laws of hijab there for amongst cousins. So we should try to fulfill all the laws of hijab. Then when a person does this here, then there will be salamati and safety. When you enter the houses, make salam to one another. It's full of barakat and blessings. When you are in a normal gathering, certain adabs of staying together with people, especially in the gathering of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, seek permission when a person is going out. And do not call Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam like how you call one another. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions at the end of the surah, remember, you have to go back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah knows exactly what you are doing on the day of Qiyamah. Allah is, inform a person of exactly what actions he had done. Wallahu bi kulli shayin alim. Allah knows everything. So when a person got this in his mind, it becomes very easy for a person to obey the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us this yaqeen.